أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين معصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين صلوات رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها صدق الله العظيم صلوات
اللهم صل على
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we're looking at Asma al-Husna. And just to recap a little bit, these are the names or the attributes of Allah. You should have a chart in front of you, and hopefully you will learn the 99 as we go along, at least as much as we can. And what I mentioned also was that one who is able to imbibe these, to make them a part of one's life, so that when somebody looks at you, they're reminded of divinity, is actually Ahlul Jannah. They're walking, talking Ahlul Jannah. And that's basically what we need to do. Now, we've looked so far in the last 4 days or 3 days, we've looked at Allah. And I said, if you took all the names of Allah, whether they're all from Jashn Kabir, which is 1,000 of them, or you took these 99, and you put them in a pot, and you melted them, out would come Allah. So basically, a combination of all of them is Allah. The synonymous with Allah was Rabb. That was on the second day. We talked about Rabb. And I said Rabb was the only name of Allah, or attribute, which you could personalize. And Rabb is basically one who takes you to your full potential, step by step. So you could say Rabbi, Rabbana, but you don't say that with any of the other names. And then yesterday we looked at two of what is known as Isme A'zam, or the known as the names from which all others come through, which is Hayy and Qayyum. And some of you, well, Kate told me as well, that you do the tasbih of Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. And Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum is phenomenal. Let me give you an example. So there's this man. He's sitting in front of his idol. And in Arabic, an idol is called Sanam. You know that? Okay? So he was going all night, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam. Well, that was his word. That's what he thought his God was. While he was saying Sanam, his eyes closed a little bit and he said, Samad. Just by mistake, he said, Samad. And a voice came, Abdi Labbaik. My Abd Labbaik. Now, Prophet Musa, he likes talking to God. He said, God, he wasn't talking to you. You don't tell God such things. He said, he wasn't talking to you. He just said it by mistake. Ya Musa, even if somebody calls me by my name by mistake, I will answer. So if you don't understand, and we went through Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, and I'll go through it again, Hayy was always online. Because everybody's used to their WhatsApps and whatever they call. He's always online. Qayyum is, he always answers straight away. And he will respond straight away. So we did Ya Allah, Ya Rab, Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum. Even today we're going to look at the three R's. In fact, we're going to look at the six R's. But I'm going to go three and three. The names of Allah, we're going to look at all three, and I know them as the three R's. I tell children, I'm mainly a person who talks to children because I love them to bits, and I tell them that even if you forget them, just say three R's and Allah will know. So the names we're going to look at are Rahman, Rahim, and Ra'uf. You get it? Rahman, Rahim, and Ra'uf. Now, Rahman is number one, you can't forget. Rahim is number two, you can't forget. Ra'uf is 83. How are you going to remember 83? Okay. Eight doors of Jannah. You can go to Jannah, don't you? Inshallah, yes. So, eight doors of Jannah. Two plus one is three. So, can you remember 83 now? One, two, and 83. Now, these numbers are important. One day, inshallah, somewhere we'll do a little bit of numerology. So, you'll understand why you're told, oh, recite this 500 times, 501. You got that, haven't you? Inshallah, we'll do that at some point. So, our recap was Allah, Rabb, Hayy, and Qayyum. And today we're going to look at the three R's. The first R we're going to look at is Rahman. Now I'm going to give you some examples so we understand it better. Rahman is all-encompassing. It doesn't make any distinction between whether you accept Allah as your Rabb or you don't. For all creation, there is Rahman. I don't like the word mercy because mercy seems like you've done something wrong and then somebody has mercy on you. So I would say compassion, kindness, extreme compassion. The Arabic verb pattern is fal'al, which is like, it's, if I can say extreme. And maybe I can say it's a bit like a dentist. Or the NHS, your, I don't know, it's not very good at the moment, but whatever it is, you know, 999. Difference between 111 and 999. Have you done that? Have you done 111? Yeah. Oh my goodness, you have to fill in so many forms. While 999, they suddenly appear. So 999 is Rahman, right? The dentist, your teeth hurts, immediately he will do something about it. So Rahman is all-encompassing. It is there for everyone. Rahman is also immediate, but Rahman is also temporary. Let's see another form. For example, you have Atshan, which is very, very thirsty. Then you have Jo'an, which is very, very hungry. Now, if I'm very thirsty, you gave me a little bit of water, and I'm done. I don't need water now continuously. If I'm very, very hungry, you gave me a little bit of food, and I'm done. So Rahman, in essence, is that immediate, now I want to have it done now. Have you ever had a toothache? Please, God give nobody toothaches, right? You just want that dentist to even pull that tooth out. You want it out now. You want it done now, right? That is Rahman. When you are in a desperate need for something, you will call upon Ya Rahman. And he's there for all creation. The only surah in the Quran which starts with an attribute of Allah is Rahman. Maybe when we get time, we'll look at it. But right now, because I've got to go to all three of them, we need to understand this, okay? Rahman. Now, if Allah is so merciful, if Allah is Rahman, that extreme kindness for everyone, why the pain? Why the suffering? Why do I you experience pain and suffering and hurt and illness and everything? Because that's a question that comes into my head as well. If he is so Rahman, well, why did he put me through all this? What for? I'm going to go through the Quran first and then we'll look at other things. So let's look at Prophet Ayyub first. Look at Prophet Ayyub?
Yeah.
So that's Prophet Ayyub. Prophet Ayyub has awesome family. He's got a farm which has lots of, you know, things are growing well, crops are growing well, he's wealthy, and he's got lots of children, and he's happy. And he is somebody who has tawakkal in Allah, who believes God is Rahman. And he's always going on about it. So Shaitan tells Allah, Ya Allah, easy for him to be good and happy. Easy for him to believe that Allah is Rahman. He's got everything. Have you seen people who are happy? Oh, they love God to bits. Right? All of us.
Yeah.
When things are going well, we say, Ya Allah, I must be doing something really good that you're really good to me. Oh, we'll come to that in a minute. Anyway, so here we go. So Allah takes his wealth away. And he still says, Allah, you are Rahman. Allah takes his children away. You are Rahman. So Shaitan says, Ya Allah, easy, because he's got health. You know, if you've got health, you've got everything. He's able, he's fine, he's okay. So that's why he is so, you know, he's so good about everything. So here's Prophet Ali. So Allah gives him an illness. 7 years. An illness that is so bad that he has boils all over his body. And the boils are so bad that the liquid that comes out of the boils, it causes such a stench that nobody wants him in the town. So they send him out of town. They send him out of town. Not even physicians want to come near him because they say that he is really bad. We can't go near him. But he's still saying, Anta arhamur rahim. You are still Rahman and Rahim. So Shaitan thinks, yeah, it's not good. So he goes to some monks and he says, you know what? There's a prophet of God here who's committed sins. That's why he's going through so much trouble. So these monks all come. Their horses don't want to go near Prophet Ayyub because of the smell. So he parks the horses far away. The monks come here and they said, ah, yeah, this man who told us that you'd sinned, definitely right. Nobody goes through such issues unless they've done something really wrong. And he started crying. And he said, you know what? I didn't even eat unless I had an orphan or somebody who didn't have any food come sit with me. And just as he's talking, one person from the monk says, shame on you. This guy had not revealed his good deeds to anyone, but he had to justify to you that he was a good person. At that moment, Prophet Ayyub raises his hands. And it's surah number 21, I think all of you know this, and it's ayah number 83. Anni masanni al-dhurru wa anta arhamur. What does he say? He said, Ya Allah, difficulty has touched me. He doesn't say you gave me difficulty. Difficulty has touched me. Wa anta arhamur rahimi. I'm not talking about one day. You know, if I get one little boil on my hand or one paper cut, I'm looking at it all the time. We're talking about 7 years. I'm talking about 1 year. And yet he says, Wa anta arhamur rahimi. Why? Why? He went through so much. And why when we go through something little, we say, oh, we see somebody who's gone through something difficult, we say, Bichari, must have done something wrong. And then we come here and sit for Muharram, and we say, Sayyidah Zainab said, that I saw beauty in everything. Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. What is wrong? We've got some skewed things in our heads, have we not?
Yes.
Now, what was wrong? The wrong bit was we're wearing the wrong glasses. So, I go for swimming lessons. And my last swimming lesson, my husband said, why don't you wear these, you know, these goggles? I've never worn them in my life. He said, can you take mine? I said, yeah, okay. So I took his, and I told this teacher, I said, everything underneath is blue and black. So she said, you've got the wrong glasses. She said, these glasses you wear in sunny countries where the pool is, outdoors, indoors you wear clear ones. I said, you didn't tell me that. Okay. So it's what glasses you wear. If you wear sunglasses indoors, everything is dark. If you wear rose-colored glasses, everything is pink. We've got to change our perspective. In psychology, it's called cognitive reframing. I'll try to make it simpler for you. So Stephen Covey, have you read him? He writes his book, Seven Habits of Successful People. So in his book, he tells a story. I'm going to tell you this so we understand what Rahman is. He says he was on the subway one day in the States, in New York, and he said, I sat there, and everybody's so tired. People are reading their papers after work, really tired. And he said, this man comes and he slumps near me, and he closes his eyes. His children are running havoc. He said, they pull other people's papers, they're running up and down. He said, in the end, I couldn't take it. I said, hello, your kids. What's wrong with you? You know, you've got to tell them something. We do that here, don't we? And children, I don't know why we do it. Anyway, that's another story. So he says, your children, they're causing so much havoc. And the man says, I'm so sorry. We've just come back from hospital. My wife died an hour ago. I don't know what to do. What happened? He had a paradigm shift. He changed completely. He said, I took the man, I took him for coffee, I went home with him, I played with the children. He changed his perspective. Rahman may give me difficulties. Rahman may give me illnesses. Rahman may give me difficult times, but there is always goodness in it. In his hands is only goodness. And the only way I can live Rahman is to be able to understand somebody else. You and I don't know what somebody else is going through. They might have a massive smile on their face, but I don't know what's hurting in their heart. A little bit of kindness. I spent the last 4 months last year in New York in a hospital because my sister-in-law had pancreatic cancer. She's all right, actually. She's a walking, talking miracle now. But I spent 4 months there. And I remember going to hospital from 9 to 9. And there was a coffee shop downstairs, which is about the only food you could get. And I remember going down to this coffee shop. And in the queue, there was a poster, or there was a board, chalk written board. And it said, you don't know what the person next to you is going through. So in the queue, please be kind. That's all it said. To me, that is Rahmaniyat. You don't know what the person next to you is going through. That is what Rahman is about. Not to be judgmental, but to be able to have that compassion for the person next to you. And when you and I live Rahmaniyat, he will send it. The Prophet said, if you are Rahman to the people on the earth, divinity will show his Rahmaniyat to you. So Rahman, let's go again. Immediate, temporary, and open to all. It doesn't mean if they're not wearing a scarf and they're not Muslim, I don't be Rahman to them. Right? It doesn't mean I'm allowed to go to drive and then when I come to the zebra crossing or whatever you want to call it, if it's not a Muslim, I don't let them across. La la la. Doesn't work like that. Okay. Now we come to Rahim. So Rahman, you understand now. Immediate, temporary, to all. Rahim is exclusive. Rahim, like that dentist. Now the dentist I go to straight away, they will see me, they will sort out my teeth. But if you want continuous care for your teeth, you subscribe to a hygienist. Hygienists are not free, you know that? You have to subscribe to them. But you have to go to them. So Rahim is when somebody submits to Allah, then they get an extra dose of mercy. That is constant and that is continuous. And that part of mercy is in the form of guidance. The moment I subscribe to the fact that there is one God, that I believe in Him, immediately I've got this entrance, I've got this subscription that pays into guidance. And the first thing He gives you and me is the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. There's two things you get. Because he says, Surah number 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 43. He says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He doesn't say Rahman. He says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. So what's that extra bit he gives me? Now this extra bit that he gives me of the Quran, of the Ahlul Bayt, they're not just to be left on one side. If the hygienist tells me that you have to use these special brushes, these TP brushes or whatever, and she says, you've got to brush, but make sure you don't get all this plaque. Oh, good, that shows you I've been to the dentist. Okay? So they tell you all these things. If you don't follow it, the next time she'll tell you, what did you do? What's wrong? Why haven't you brushed your teeth? Or you've left this bit out. You know, they put this color stuff and they show you all the, and it's awful. Oh, I'm glad you know that's awful, right? So it's the same thing. If I look at my Quran and it's not annotated and I'm not understanding it, if my salah is something I'm not understanding, I'm 64 and I've been in my mother's womb for 9 months. If for 64 years, 9 months, whatever, I have been listening to majalis, coming to every rilad of every rafat, and yet if somebody told me, speak about the 11th Imam, I go, no, I let somebody else do it. Really? Then there's something not quite right. I haven't made use of Ar-Rahim. Right? So let me take you to our ayah of Quran. So number 10, ayah 57, through to Yunus. Yes? Ya ayyuhan nas, O human beings. Kaja'atkum maw'idatum min rabbikum. Has come to you a source of lessons from your Rabb. Wa shifa'un lima fis sudur. It will heal everything that's inside you. Okay? وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ. It's guidance and it's a mercy for everyone in the world. What's it talking about? It's talking about the Quran. It's talking about these are small husna that I have. It's talking about the masumeen. I need to be able to put them in my life. I really do. Okay? So now, the third one, my favorite one. Okay, they're all my favorite, but this one I absolutely adore. Ra'uf, my goodness. Yes. There's nothing like it. Okay, number 83. You good with that? Yes. I don't even know what to say. It is the highest form of kindness. See, it comes from the word raf'a. Let me try and explain to you. You know, what I am going through, you will never understand. What you are going through, I will never understand. If I explain to you, you'd say, that's nothing. Because my pain, my ache, my worries are very different from your aches and your pains and your worries. The only one who understands is Ra'uf. That's one. Number two, Ra'uf gives without pain. Rahman and Rahim sometimes hurt. Dentist hurts, no? Hygienist hurts. Rauf doesn't. Let me give you an example. Let's take a mom, okay? When a mom and the weather is cold, what does she do to her children? She puts a coat on her children. She puts some stuff that is going to be really warm for them. She gives them gloves. She gives them everything. Does she not? That is the mother showing ra'afa to her children. She doesn't want them to go through the pain at all. No cold. I don't want my children to go through any cold. When a mother gives her children medicine when they're ill, that is rahmaniyat. You understand? So ra'afa is without pain. Now you and I want ra'afa. We want ra'uf. That's what we want from him. We want to be able to be warned beforehand. Always prevention is better than cure. Please don't give me these difficulties. I can't handle it anymore. Let me give you a dua that a little girl wrote one day. Okay, she said, my soul hurts so much. My body is so tired. My heart is burdened with worries. I have no one other than you, Ya Ra'uf. Give me the strength, the sabr, and ease my pain. I've had enough, Ya Ra'uf. That's what Ra'uf is. So when you call out to him, when you're in that position, and you see, people will understand when your leg is broken. Will they not? They'll say, bichari, I'll let you, then give you some space, let you walk. They'll do that. They'll feel sad for you if you've lost somebody in your family. Because they'll say, they'll come and sit with you. But the pain in your heart that you can't tell anybody, nobody knows. So that's when you call out, Ya Ra'uf. So I said, three R's. Rahman, Rahim, and Ra'uf. But I said I was going to do six. So now, one of the people who is amazingly Ra'uf is the Prophet. He's known as somebody who is Ra'uf. Let me tell you a little bit about it, okay? First of all, you all know when Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, if I'm not mistaken, He says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Now I'm going to take you to Surah Al-Tawbah. And you thought Surah Al-Tawbah was scary, so you didn't read it. Surah Tawbah, ayah 128. Look what it says. لَكَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Has come to you a prophet from yourselves. He's not an angel. He's a human being. A phenomenal human being. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ. He gives you that izzat. Right? We'll talk about it. He's awesome. مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيسٌ. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. When something hurts you, it hurts him more. When something hurts your child, what happens to you? You say, Ya Allah, give it to me, but not to my child. This is what the Prophet is. So I told you, the next R is, when you say, Ya Ra'uf, I give you the wasta, or bihaqi, the Nabi who was Ra'uf. I'll give you another Ra'uf, okay? Another Ra'uf is Imam al-Ra'uf. Oh my goodness, he's absolutely amazing. Let's talk about Imam al-Ra'uf. So Imam al-Ra'uf is known as Imam Rida. Okay? Now why is he known as Imam al-Ra'uf? Well, if you go to the Haram, this Haram has been designed by somebody called Sheikh Baha'i. in Sheikh Bahai? No, okay, read about it. So Sheikh Bahai designed this haram. And just as he was finishing everything else, he told the builder, don't put the door to the zari until tomorrow morning. Because in the frame of the door, I want to put a piece of paper which will not allow big sinners in. People who've done gunahe, kabira, they can't come to a place like this. So the builder said, okay, I'll do that. Fine. At night, the builder has a dream. In his dream, he sees Imam Reza. Imam tells him, before Fajr, go and put the frame in and the door in. And Imam tells him things that only an Imam would know. So he goes before Fajr, he puts in the frame, he puts in the door. Guess what happens when Sheikh Bahai comes? Did I not tell you that you will not put that in? He said, but I had a dream and I saw Imam Reza. Now, Sheikh Bahai did not say this, but can you imagine what's going on in his head? Why didn't Imam come to me? But he didn't say it. And when the builder told him what Imam had told him, he rested his head on the frame and he said, definitely you are Imam al-Ra'uf. Because Imam wanted anybody to be able to come to him. So now when you give wasila, you give a wasila of the Nabi who is Ra'uf. The Imam who is Ra'uf. And I told you there were three. Representatives of Ar-Ra'uf come in the form of Rafiq. You know what Rafiq is? Rafiq is a friend. Rafiq is an amazing friend. You hear Lion King, Rafiki. That's where it comes from. A Rafiq is someone which comes from the Arabic word in the Quran known as Mirfaq. Mirfaq is a cushion. A cushion that you lean on when you're really tired and exhausted. No fake. You can't fake them with a friend, okay? There's nothing. It's all authentic. And the best friend is the one who tells you things as they are. They don't value the friendship. They value you more than the friendship. You understand what I'm saying? That means they are able to tell you things which they know may turn you away from them, but they will still tell you. Because they want you to go to Jannah. And they might meet you there. And if you find a friend like that, oh my goodness, hang on to them. Okay? They're absolutely amazing. I'm not even going to look around. Okay? Because she tells me I'm not supposed to tell you that she's my friend. Okay? And these friends are phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. They're just something else. So, three R's with Allah's names. And three R's that you have, which are other than Allah, whose wasilas you will give. And these friends, you know, the Prophet said, after the advent of Islam, the greatest benefit to a Muslim comes in the form of a friend selected only to praise Allah. Then he told the companions, when you see a garden in front of you, make use of it. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, which garden? He said, a friend. Don't let go of those friends. So we're going to go to Karbala for 2 seconds to find an amazing friend. His name was Habib as well. Habib is a friend also. It comes from Hub. Right? Try to get Habib. Imam started off with a lot of companions. 2,000. Did you know that? From Makkah, when he's going towards Kufa, there wasn't just 72 people. There were so many people. He tells us, he told all of them, go back home. John, it's okay. You've done your bit. You came with me, you gave allegiance, go. These stuck to him. But when he was telling everyone to go, even on the night of Ashura, there was one person whom he said, come. Who did he say come to? Friend Habib. Right? So he sends him a, and you all know this, I'm just, like I said, it's going to go through a little bit. The love of Ahlul Bayt was planted into Habib by his parents. Mazahir is walking with the Prophet, and he sees the Prophet sit down on the ground. And he takes Habib in his arms. And Mazahir says, Ya Rasulullah, what has my son done? He said, have you not been watching your son? He's been walking with Hussein. And everywhere Hussein goes, he picks up the earth from under his feet and he kisses it. That is what, and there will be a day when my son Hussein and your Habib will be so close to each other. Imam calls Habib. You know, he comes, he reaches Karbala on the 3rd or the 4th of Muharram, and he doesn't leave Imam. I am going to be your watchman. There is a name of Allah which is known as watchman. You can look at it later, a watch person. And even today, if you go to Karbala, you can't go to Imam Hussein until you go through Habib. That's the sort of friend you need, a friend there. I'm fast forwarding a little bit, I'm not going through the whole thing. But when Habib falls, he is mindful of his friend. He doesn't say, come to me like everybody else does. He says, accept my salams from here. I don't want you to go through the trouble of coming up to me. Imam rushes with Abu Thamama. And as they rush to Habib, Imam puts Habib's head on his lap. And he says, Habib, you were the most excellent of friends. Habib, you are someone who read Quran all night. Look at the things Imam talks about it. And he whispers, Abu Thamama, I have a wasiya. Abu Thamama says, why are you telling me wasiya? Why are you telling me this? Because I'm coming too. I'm going to the battlefield. He said, Usika hadha rajul, don't leave this man. He adds madhloom at the end. So, one thing you learn from Habib or a friend is, don't leave Hussein. The best friend you and I will ever have is Hussein. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq, to be able to live the 3 hours and to be able to see, be the 3 hours basically. So you've got 6 hours today. Inshallah, tomorrow we will look at another aspect of Rahmaniyah and we're going to look at forgiveness. It's probably one of the most beautiful parts of Asma al-Husna. Okay. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul 'alim.